thanks for tuning in to Organic Matters. And I'm going to do a subject that I actually did a heck of a lot of work with back a decade or so ago, but it's still popular and it still has a reason, and that's called compost tea. You know, most gardeners know that compost is some really good stuff. I really believe in it. But there's something that I think is even better than just plain old compost, and that's compost tea. As the name implies, compost tea is made by steeping compost in water. It uses either a foliar spray or a soil drench, depending on where your plant's problems might be. Now, some people always ask me, why go to the extra trouble of brewing, straining, and spraying a tea rather than just working compost into the soil? Well, there's several good reasons for that. First, compost tea makes the benefits of compost go further. What's more, when sprayed on the leaves, compost tea helps suppress foliar diseases, increases the amount of nutrients available to the plant, and speeds the breakdown of toxins. Using compost tea has even been shown to increase the nutritional quality and improve the flavor of vegetables that it's used on. If you've been applying compost to your soil only in the traditional way, then you're missing out on a whole host of benefits that can be gained by making yourself a good compost tea. Now, we're going to take a look at the facts, because in the old days, all we did was take the compost, put it in the water, let it soak. But we've learned over time, mostly from a doctor named Elaine Ingham, that by oxygenating it, by putting oxygen through this water, it multiplies the good guys by many, many more times over much shorter periods. First, let me just kind of interject here. There are a few people around and say, well, that's just not true. Well, I have worked with, made compost tea for over 20 years. Now, back when what was before compost tea was famous being compost tea. And I've learned a lot about it, but I've physically used it. I've physically done it side-by-side plants. A good friend of mine named Malcolm Beck and I did controlled studies with mustard plants and other plants, and we saw the difference in the viability and the power of the plants that we used our compost teas that were correctly made now on the plants. So there's no doubt in my mind. If there's people out there doubting, it's like everything. If you don't use it right, it's not going to do its job. And it does take a little extra effort. But part of gardening is the effort. First, you're outside. You're doing what you need to be doing. You're getting some exercise. Oh, and incidentally, you're growing things that are good for you and your family to eat. First, in short sense, what is compost tea? Well, it sounds like a simple question, but it's really not, because there's really not a good exact definition of compost tea. Part of the problem is compost itself can be made from a large variety of materials, and each compost is different, sometimes very different. If you make tea from two different types of compost, you're going to get two different types of compost tea. In many cases, either one, if it's made properly, will certainly be beneficial to your garden. But it's no easy way for the average gardener to tell, sorta. One is follow your nose. If it smells sweet and composty and smells like good material, it probably is. If it smells like ammonia, it's probably not good. It's anaerobic. You can go, your nose is a pretty good guide. Now, a better one, in which I used for years, is a decent microscope. But you don't need to do all that. Follow some simple rules, make the tea correctly, and follow your nose. One of the reported benefits of compost tea itself are the microbes that it multiplies. And here let me say that I always do aerobic compost tea formulas, and I'll tell you a little bit about aerobic and anaerobic, and you'll see why. Tea can be made in two very different ways, aerobically and anaerobically. Now, in English terms, what? The term aerobic means that the tea is made in the presence of oxygen. You usually bubble air through the tea as it is brewing. However, when tea is made anaerobically, it is made without added oxygen. You simply let the kind of smelly sludge sit in a pail. That's how we did it way back before we knew. The method used to make the tea is very important because microbes tend to favor one or the other of these living conditions. They either like living and oxygen present compost teas, or they prefer less oxygen. So the method you use to create the tea is very important to determine the type of microbes that are going to end up living in that tea. Aerobic soil bacteria inhabit soils that contain a lot of air. The light, fluffy type of soil that we all know that we think is good for our plants is an ideal example. Anaerobic soils tend to be live in wet, compacted, clay-type soils where there's little oxygen present. Certainly in general, not the kind of soil we want. So why is it that many recipes for compost tea use the anaerobic method? Well, the answer for me is it makes no sense. So I really don't have an answer for that. I don't work towards, nor do I want to smell or use an anaerobic situation, especially when I don't have any idea what's in it. The next question you get asked by people that are logical is, does compost tree increase the nutrients? If you put X amount of something in a bucket, folks, no matter what you do, it's only going to have X amount of nutrient. However, what they don't explain, the people that I say are the naysayers of compost tea, is by aerating and optimizing the existence of, especially the microbes that live in there and the bacteria, they can indeed make the nutrients that are in that particular compost, that particular amount of material, more available to your plants, especially so when you foliar feed, which we now know a number of plants do take nutrients in through the stomata of the leaves themselves, that just wouldn't necessarily be available if you just put that compost out on the ground, and certainly not as available as readily. So yes, you can't get silk purse out of a sow's ear. You can only get what's in there, but you can multiply the good microbes. You can make it more available. You can make it easier for the plant to absorb and to use. Another concept that the naysayers have to say, and I'm doing this to address them because there's a lot of good books. There's a great book called Teeming with Microbes you might want to read that comes out of a fellow out of Alaska. I'll have to give you his name maybe by the time. I can't remember it right now, but I've actually even had him on my radio show. But does it decrease diseases if you put it on your plants? And the general answer, well, how can it? It doesn't. Yes, it can. I'll use this anomaly that you can see. Let's say you've got a condominium and there's rooms are there and they're empty. Well, anybody can move in, okay? So they've got a space. If you take a plant that's been properly grown and the whole cell system is occupied with good bacteria and good microbes, in an eighth grade education way, let's look at it that way, there's no way for the bad guys to move in. There's no place for them to be. There's a defense that's there because you've given your plant the best possible living situation that you know how at the time. So when they say it doesn't do any disease suppression, I find that, and again, studying it and using it and seeing science about it, just not true. It's got to be used properly, and it's got just like fertilizer or anything else, but yes, it is an asset to almost every plant you would put it on. In contrary, if you've done a lot of reading about it, there's some guy named Robert Pavlis that says, oh no, this is all a myth. I haven't seen any real studies he did. All I read was everybody else's, number one. And number two, I've used it personally. This is not secondhand information. I've seen the difference. I know the difference. I've studied what is in before and after when the tea is made properly with good microscopes and with people that did know the identity. Do we need to know every microbe? No. What is probably true, though, is your soil does have tons of microbes right where you're growing your stuff. But there's tons more that may have been killed by previous fertilizer use because the soil was too dry, because the pH is wrong. All this needs to be worked on. But as a part of the system, in the years I've done it, there is no doubt that the plants I worked actively with, the homemade or commercially made for that matter, compost tea worked on was unequivocal. Well, there was no doubt that the plant that we used the material you're on properly was healthier, stronger, in some cases grew faster, definitely had a stronger cell system if you looked at the leaves and cross-cut them and put them on your microscope. So I don't know where this guy comes from. I don't know what axe he's got to grind. Don't much care. But the point being is, yes, It's not that difficult to make. It is an asset. I have used it. I have nothing to sell here, folks. Nothing at all, except that I am a really, truly organic gardener. And I think this guy's not even sold on organics. He tells you that, you know, the nitrogen is the nitrogen once the plant gets it. Unfortunately, I've seen plants grown with ammonia nitrogen and organic nitrogens, and you see a difference. In fact, sometimes the nitrogen, synthetic nitrogen plant grows faster at first. And contrary to what he says in his books, go to Rodale's 30-year study with Cambridge University, and he'll show you that after a few years, first few years, it wasn't always true. After a few years, his organic gardening put out more crops per square foot than the Cambridge synthetic garden right beside it in the same soils in a controlled situation. So does it work? Yes, it works. Is it fast? No, nature isn't fast. Mother Nature's at her own pace. We try to help her as much as we can. You can go online, find compost tea makers. You can make one for $25 at your house for an average garden. It's all you ever need. And done properly, there's little doubt. Matter of fact, there's no doubt in my mind that it is an asset. If for no other reason, you're paying better attention to your garden. I hate to start it there. But secondly, yes, I have physically seen, I've been to the classes that were taught on soil management, both here in Texas. I did go to Oregon, for instance, and spend a semester there. And I saw the science. I didn't just read it out of a book or somebody else said. So it does indeed do what we think it does. It's not magic. It's not Jack and the Beanstalk, folks. That's what I think some of these people are. Well, this is not instant success. It's not supposed to be. You know, even putting a new garden out the first year or two, I don't care how good a soil you get, sometimes it takes a year or so to get itself settled in and working. Same thing with your own little private garden. It's not going to happen in a minute. It's not going to happen in a month. But in time, you'll see that what you've done to enhance the soil overhaul is definitely an asset. And there are nutrient studies that show, yes, plants that are grown in exactly the right environment that you eventually build by working with your garden correctly are healthier for you, the plant itself is healthier, and in many cases, they supply more nutrients to whoever or whatever eats them. Thanks for staying tuned to Organic Matters.